So this morning, I'd like to talk about the name elder. You heard the word elder or elders. Talk about that and how it we apply it in Scripture and how it's applied here. This is a trustworthy saying. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. So let me just read through this Scripture, and then we'll have a little bit of fun. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. May God bless the reading of his word. Okay, well, you're going to see a picture here on this next slide. And you may recognize a couple of the people in this picture. I have to wait for somebody from the sound booth to forward the picture, please. Okay, you might want to hit the lights just a little bit just for this first part because the pictures are a little bit dark. So this is a picture of my father and somebody else who you may know from the congregation. Does anybody have a guess as to who that girl is? Naomi, yes. Now there's a picture next to that. And this is a picture of my dad's sisters, who are younger, my Aunt Lana and my Aunt Kay. Now, next to them are my aunts. And my wife and I always debate about this. Because in my family, actually, we're German, so you really should say aunt. Or if you really want to get it right, Tanta. So this is Tanta Lana and Tanta Kay. The little girl there, Aunt Kay, she was 7 years older than I was. So she was born in 1951. We did take a bath together at one time in our life. And she splashed cold water on me to see if I would react. My Aunt Kay passed away a few years ago from cancer. So in our family, anybody that was of your relatives and was older, so all of those girls, the four girls on the right-hand side, are all daughters of my grandmother, Lucille's sister. Now, they really... And I don't know this whole thing, like second cousins once removed, or second cousins. I'm not sure how you call them, but in our family, we just said they're aunt this or aunt that. It was a way to give respect to someone who was older than you and was part of your family. So we have my father, who's an elder to me, and that I respect. And then we have a whole group of aunts. Whole group of tantas. So when we talk about elders or somebody who's elder, there is a broad spectrum of what we're talking about in Scripture. But today I'd like to kind of hone that in just a little bit to talk about when Scripture talks about elders, it really talks about three different words, and we use them together. So the word that you saw overseer this morning from 1 Timothy 3:1, That word is most of the time translated bishop. So overseer or bishop are the same word. And then if you want to write this in the side of your notes, the word or the term elder is synonymous with the word bishop and the word overseer. And we find this in Titus chapter 1, as Paul is addressing Titus. He says this: "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city, as I directed you, namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward." So we see here that the word elders, the word overseer, word bishop, they're all synonymous. Now I have another picture for you. Do you recognize these two gentlemen? Okay. Okay, some of you may recognize those two gentlemen. They have a relationship with our church and with us. I will unveil who they are in a little bit, and we'll do a hands-on Kahoot with that. But as we look into this scripture this morning, we're going to look into a few of these terms. I'm not going to go through every single term. So if you go back into your first three verses, the first three verses say this: "The saying is trustworthy." Next slide, please. "If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money." So we're going to look at these terms. Overseer, we've talked about. Noble task, above reproach, husband of one wife, hospitable and able to teach. Why am I talking about these? Just very simply because there's something to talk about that's practical for us this morning. And first of all, this word overseer, I've talked about it already. It means bishop. It's translated bishop. It just simply means one who watches over church, the church, churches, somebody who watches over the church or the people of God. Now, in our current denominational spectrum, we actually have this a Greek word, and the Greek word is episkopeo, and that's where we get the denomination Episcopal from. So you can imagine that in the Episcopal church, what do you think they have a hierarchy of? Bishops. Right. Very good. Okay, so just some observations. So this is for the back of your bulletin. We'll be done with this really quick. A noble task. This is really, this is probably the most valuable thing that you can take out of this. So when we engage a bishop or we talk to somebody about being a bishop, and now I'm talking about not the bishop, but practically to our church level, an elder, if you want to look over a church, this is a noble task. And this word noble task, it's really, we're trying to put it in English words, so it doesn't give the full spectrum of what this word really means. That word noble means valuable, priceless. And as Jesus would say, remember when Jesus was dialoguing, they called Jesus good, and Jesus said, "Well, what are you calling me good for? Only God is good." This is something that is holy and righteous and valuable and priceless. And then the word task is really, that really is too short of a word, because what it explains is that it's an endeavor, it's something to get involved with, but it's also involving a commitment or a covenant, something that you take very seriously. So it's a good thing, and it involves a covenant or a commitment. Above reproach. Above reproach means without accusation. So when we think or pray about, okay, who would we like to have on our elder board or or in our conference, when we're thinking about a bishop, we're looking for somebody who doesn't have a whole long list of people accusing them of certain things. This really practically also speaks to the fact that so if you have something against an elder, or even any leader for that matter, what should you do with it? Hold it inside? You talk to the person first. Talk to others, yeah. That would be gossip. You talk to the person about what's going on. And so as bishops, we cover each other. In fact, Scripture tells us that you should not receive just an accusation about an elder. You should receive it when there's a larger amount of people who can speak to an accusation. So that one person, one accusation, doesn't control any type of activity. Okay? So that accusation is also in the community and in church when we see this in a later verse. So it's make sure that that person has a good reputation. Husband of one wife. Why did I put this up here? Because we are in a country where you can't be married to two wives at one time, legally, right? So our culture is quite a bit different than the culture in the first century when this was written. And this is really a very important concept to think through. So what does it mean to be a husband of one wife? Well, first of all, it does mean that literally it means that you're the husband of one wife. Well, that's easy. I have a wife or I don't have a wife. But in our culture, we do have complications to this. And complications are what? Well, first of all, you might have a second wife because you simply were a widower and had the opportunity to marry. So, husband of one wife, does that mean that you can't have had more than one? No, that's not correct. Well, the second issue that we have in our contemporary culture is, what about having an elder or a bishop that's divorced? And I can tell you growing up that this is a very, very difficult thing, and our culture has changed. I remember. So you just have to put up with me just for a moment. I remember my mother talking to a friend and saying, "Did you hear that Andy Williams got divorced?" So I don't know when this was, like 1960s or something, and Andy Williams had this beautiful voice, and he had Christmas, he had, you know, the Christmas specials, and it was like, oh, Andy Williams got divorced, can you believe it? Well, in the church, admittedly, we, because Christ brings us together, Christ created us to be one, marriage is something that we honor and call it sacred. This has been a struggle through time. How do we actually have a leader who may be divorced? Well, I love the context, and if you go back and read through this context, the context is that what is that person's household? What are the things that are around them? What do they look like? Because there are situations where you might have been divorced before you even became a believer. What happens then? Or you might have been divorced, and this is male or female. You may have been divorced because your spouse simply turned against you and left. And this is a pertinent conversation in Agape because during my time, we've had to discuss it and decide that, you know what, we will look at each individual by their character, by the things that, by biblical standards, and that we aren't just letting the label divorce hold us back from saying that a man may be an elder in our church. Okay? So we've wrestled with it, we've come to a decision, and we do have men in our eldership who have stories. You may want to find that out. Okay, So noble task, above reproach, husband of one wife, and then hospitable. And what does hospitable mean? It means they're welcoming. It means that you are not scared of them. If you see them in a room, you aren't scared to go over to them. And every, you know, this is, there is a gift of hospitality that the Spirit of God gives. It doesn't mean that every elder has to have the gift of hospitality, but it does mean that they need to be welcoming. It does mean that they need to be welcoming. We have a worship elder. Junior was our worship elder this morning. Paul was sick. And so Junior has to have a welcoming personality. Would you be willing to go to him for prayer or for a need? Okay? And then lastly, able to teach. Now, I love this one because we all teach on different levels. You might think I'm boring, but there's always like, well, I don't want to listen to that person, or I want to listen to this person. This is the bottom line, and that is the bottom line. Is this person not just able to, but are they mentoring people? Are people watching them and learning from them? Teaching is way bigger than just being able to open a Bible and talk about it. Someone to follow. Okay? So, that's our exegetical portion for this morning. Oh, well, one little thing, and that is that these next two verses talk about control issues, and I love the way that the Scripture talks about them. And if you really just sit back and read it, this is verses 3 through 5. They are not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Those are negative things. Then it says, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? So I broke these up. In your bulletin, you'll see this. I broke these up in a very practical way. And you will notice that I've missed a blank. I'm sorry, you only have three blanks for not controlled by. But there are four things here: alcohol, anger, criticism, and money. They're not controlled by alcohol. They're not controlled by anger. They're not controlled by criticism, gossiping, talking bad, getting in arguments. And they're not controlled by money. So those are the four negative things that need to be part of an elder. And then the non-control, that they're not controlled by things, is revealed by what? It's revealed by the way they live in their home life. And this means wives, children, finances, their home. And I still remember this. So I was living in the Byler's home, and we had not purchased it yet. And Lynette was kind of overseeing the property. And I mowed the front yard pretty nice, but Lynette had to give me a call. She said, Pastor Dale, did you know you're supposed to be taking care of the Hepburn side part of your property? And I realized that, you know what, that wasn't a very good example of being a pastor, because it was getting pretty ratty. So, what does your home look like? What does your home look like? Okay. And then just lastly, before we have a little fun, the last two verses, 6 and 7, he must not be a recent convert. He may not be puffed up, because he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. So he should not be a new believer, and he should have a good reputation. Pretty practical and pretty simple. When we as elders think about asking new men to be elders, these are the guidelines that we use. Now, I'm going to step back here and say, we all have elders, so I gave you some pictures of some of my elders. When we think about relationships with elders, people that are older than us, we are people, so there's going to be conflict, and sometimes you're not going to agree. So I want to talk to you right now about respect. How does God bless you? God blesses you when you respect the things that are His. And if a man has been called to the place of an elder, you need to respect them. Now, let me make this a little more practical, just kind of stepping out of that whole realm. Part of respect is respecting your elders in your family. Do you want to be blessed? Then you need to respect your parents. Now, I still remember this. We had this. Oh, I see a few moms and dads smiling right now. In my family that I created when I married Lori, we had a little bit of a debate because this is a new thing for us. We created a family, and now, so who has authority over that family? And then, of course, you always have, from the very beginning when you're planning your wedding, what do you have? You have parents who are saying, well, you should do this, or you shouldn't do that, or, you know, do it this way. And so right away we had kind of this tension of, well, aren't you supposed to respect your elders? Respecting elders is way bigger than doing what they say. Can I say that? Respecting elders is way bigger than doing what they say. It's how you relate to them. And this is the same in our church. You will be blessed by your elders if you have a relationship with your elders. That means none of the hidden stuff, you know, like, oh, I don't really like them, or I like this elder better than that elder. God will honor your respect for those who He has put over you. Okay? So, now from a very practical level, so we talked about elders in our church, and we are an elder-led congregation. We are part of a conference. The conference is called Lancaster Mennonite Conference. We really are not a denomination. Okay, although the word denomination means denomination. There was a relationship that we had for about 14 years with Mennonite Church USA, and there's a reason we are not part of that relationship anymore. But our conference, Lancaster Mennonite Conference, is now actually growing and people are becoming part of the conference. So in some ways, we're kind of becoming a denomination, but just to let you know, we're part of Lancaster Mennonite Conference. And we're getting so big now, and we're kind of worldwide, so we have churches across the globe. We will soon be just known as LMC. So you will see that announcement probably this year. Now, in LMC, we have a moderator, and that's Keith Weaver. And then as part of the conference, we are a district. We have four churches in our district. We're part of the North Penn District, and we have a bishop. Now, the last bishop we had said, call me overseer. And this bishop just says, well, call me bishop. Because in our conference, we're actually run by a bishop board. So every bishop that is over a district is part of the bishop board, and they make all of the spiritual decisions for our conference. I love our conference. They are spiritual men. They're looking for a missional direction, and they're looking to encourage and help their churches. Do what? Not be churches, but reach others for Christ. And that's pretty cool. Now, here's the two gentlemen that you saw before, and I just gave you their names. Paul Nicely is our bishop, and Keith Weaver is the moderator. So he's the, you know, he's like the head kingpin of our conference. Now, this is the Kahoot, okay? So practically. So I'm going to give you A, B, C, or D. How many times do you think each of these gentlemen have been in our church? So I'm going to start with Paul. This is your choices. A, 0 to 4, 1 to 4. B, 5 to 14. C, 15 to 24. Or D, more than 24 times. Okay, so Paul Nicely, how many think that Paul has been in our church 1 to 4 times? We have about 25. That's okay. How many think he's been in our church 5 to 14 times? A couple. Thank you, Jack, for the male voice. Okay, how many think 15 to 24? We have one and a two, and then 24 more. None. The answer is he's probably been in our church about 8 times. Now, he's visited on a Sunday morning only twice. Okay. I said in the building. Now, why did I say that? Because you don't realize their presence just by a Sunday morning. In fact, some of you probably have never even seen that face before. Okay, Keith Weaver. Okay, A, 1 to 4. How many think that Keith's been in our building 1 to 4 times? Okay, looks like we have about 15. 5 to 14. How many think that he's been 5 to 14? About the same. That's okay. That's pretty good. How many think that Keith have been in our church 15 to 24 times? Nobody? And it counts anytime he was in the building. Oh, other pastors? Possibly, yeah. Yeah. And anybody 24 plus? Iska. Well, you're right. Because Keith has probably been in our building 30 plus times. And you're going, what? So every time that we've had to decide on having a new bishop like we're doing right now, Keith comes and leads a meeting. Our church happens to be in the middle of our district, so it is the most popular meeting place. Our district pastors meet at Agape more than anywhere else. There's been a couple times we've met at Community Mennonite in Milton. So we have a church, Emmanuel Community Church in Jersey Shore. And we have one in, well, it's not really Trout Run. It's where is the church?
Bedines.
But is it in Bedines? Okay, yeah. So Mountain View is in Bedines. Okay. So that's kind of fun. I could have given you a Kahoot, and then those of you with a phone, you could have had fun with that. And then, of course, here, our church leadership is elder-led. We're elder-led. And we have 7 elders right now. So the elders are Tim Bryant, Junior Herlocker. Next slide, guys. Bill Kaiser, Paul Lichty, Tim Mello, Jose Serra, and Holger Schill. Okay? And they're on your bulletin every Sunday. Okay. Now, we have something called a worship elder, and he is here every Sunday. Today, it's Junior. Junior is right. Any Sunday that we worship, if you have a prayer request, if something is heavy in your heart, you go to the worship elder. If God has given you a praise or something you'd like to share, go to the worship elder. We will change our Sunday morning service according to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And the worship elder has taken it upon himself to pray over the morning and try to listen to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So you don't have to necessarily listen to me every Sunday. But you do have to be listening to the Holy Spirit. And when you engage the worship elder, it may change and transform our morning worship. How's that? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now, lastly, Christ encountering leadership always means servanthood or service. Now, I don't know if you think, okay, well, these guys are in power. Everybody I talked to you about this morning is in their position to serve because this is what Christ did. What did Christ do? We talked about it last week. He took upon himself our shame. That Philippians 2. He humbled himself. Took on, how would you like to be God taking on yourself a form of man? Pretty restricted. What does that mean? Skin? Hair? So when we talk about leadership, we're really talking about serving and humility. And guys, so this is not about power. This is about service. And we pray for you. So when you came this morning, when you come to church in the morning, I have a question to ask. First of all, what inside of you is hidden from Jesus? Nothing. What inside, because he wants to serve you. What inside of you is hidden from your elders? This is what Scripture says. Now, what I'm not saying right now is go to an elder and give him everything that you got. Okay, I'm not saying that. Okay? But did you know that there might be people in this church who are praying for you specifically because they have you on their prayer list? But there are no other people who are praying for you and the things that are going on with you more than the elders. For you. So when you're sitting at a table at a fellowship meal, you might want to share a little bit about your life with an elder. Not because you think that they're going to take things away and talk. No. You will not find, I love the group of elders we have, you will not find them talking about your stuff to anybody but God. But they are trying to do what the Holy Spirit does, which is take the things of God that have been under their care and bringing it to the throne of God. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.